Luke chapter 9. We'll start at verse 57. Chapter 9, verse 57. I'm not here to beat you tonight. I'm here to encourage you or to provoke you to action. And sometimes you just got to poke them a little bit. Amen. I'm a good poker. Amen. That's what just what we got to do. And Jesus, he's pretty good poker too. Verse 57, he says, and it came to pass that as they went their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto them, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home and at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes nor salute no man by the way. And unto whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in that same house, remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Let's pray just a minute. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the missionaries and the ministries that we've heard about tonight, about, God, the Spanish in Arizona, and, Lord, the prison system that so desperately need the gospel. Pray, Father, you would prosper these missionaries as they go from church to church. I pray, God, that you would raise up their support. Pray to encourage their heart, Lord, those that need visas. God, I pray you'd make the way and do a miraculous thing in their lives. God, give them what they need so they can get there and get the job done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Randy Pike said the church is hindered by people who spend half the week talking about a project and the other half the week not getting it done. We're good talkers, but we're not very good finishers. New Guineans are absolutely the master at that. You can have a project, and I'm telling you, the first day of that project, if you're building a church or whatever you're doing, they'll all be there expecting lunch, and they'll work a little bit, but if you don't feed them lunch and they're not too excited about the project, just you and one or two are going to be there tomorrow. That's just the way man is. He's looking for something easy. He's looking for a way to get around something or to get something for nothing. This first man in verse 57, this was a half-hearted commitment. You know, the commitments are something foreign to the American society anymore. I'll let Brother Ralph preach on that tomorrow night if he wants to. But we don't like to make commitments. We think it ties us down, and it ties us into something that there's going to be some expectation of us being involved and doing some work. So everybody, they don't want to make a commitment. They want to try it first. If we like it, we'll stay. If we don't, we're gone. This fella had a good talk. I mean, he said, man, I mean, he volunteered. He said, Lord, I'll follow thee. Where the server that going? But talk doesn't get the job done. We had a man come down from a place called Samborigi in the interior of New Guinea, come down to the coast. His cousin or uncle or brother or whoever was down there had a job. So he came down and started coming to our church. And what I do with my guys, we wanted to build a Sunday school class. So I just got the boys and I said, let's build a Sunday school class. Amen. And I had a bunch of hammers and squares and, you know, you got to get a ball of pencil for sure. And we started building a Sunday school class. And the New Guineans aren't very good at working together. It's not, brother, would you pass me the saw? It's, give me that saw. Hurry up. Come on. Aren't you going to do anything? Come on. Give me that saw. You're not going to use it. You don't know how to use it. Give me that saw. Well, this fella, we had one saw. We had several hammers. I had a group from Australia, America, somewhere come, a construction group, and they brought some leather tool belts. Man, I think there's two or three of them. You talk about popular. Those leather tool belts were popular. And this big old boy from San Berigo, he came and he belted one of those things on, and I mean, he had a nail pouch full of nails, and he had my best East Wing hammer. I mean, it was a good one. He had the square in there, the pencil behind his ear. He even had a saw in his hand. And he walked around giving orders, but I'm telling you, that hammer never struck a nail. That saw never sawed a board. Say, why is that? He's all talk. He looked good. He had all the tools. And believe me, he had all the tools. But he wasn't getting the job done. Yet I had some young boys. They were Lynn Sunday School boys. They'd come out there. They were, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old. And I got a deal at the local sawmill. This guy imported timber or exported timber, and he had some flooring down there, and I made him a deal for some. And I taught them little boys how to put a floor down. I'm talking about a tongue and groove floor. Yeah, amen. I had one mama come over, and she said, I'm looking for my son. I said, he's in there putting the floor down. She stuck her head in that little Sunday school building. And she said, he don't know how to do that. I said, well, sure he does. He's doing it.
Yeah.
She said, I just wondered, he hadn't been home all day, and I just wondered what he was doing. What is it that keeps him so busy? And she said, have at it, brother. If he'll work for you, amen, let him work. Listen, you don't have to be slick and smooth. What you have to be is willing. The commitment that you have to make needs to be wholehearted and not half-hearted. Jesus just put it out straight, and he has a habit of doing that. He said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not to lay his head. Hey, listen, you go to some of these places, it's hard. I'm not going to coat it over for you. It's hard. I know we see the pictures and the churches and the radio station in Africa, but I'm telling you, that didn't come without some blood, sweat, and tears. That come from some hard daylight to dark labor.
Yes, sir.
That comes living with the rats and the roaches. That comes fighting with the government and every other religious group that's in the vicinity. That comes having your family threatened. I'm telling you, these missionaries pay a price.
Right.
And if you want to serve God, it is going to cost you something.
Right.
I'm not trying to scare you tonight. I'm just trying to say, hey, this is real life.
Amen.
The pictures are fine. It's wonderful. But I just want you to understand there's more to it than that. And when you get in the hard spots, when they start threatening your family and blocking the road and doing all these other crazy things now, and brother, in Portmore, in Lay, they're starting to kidnap white children, hold them for ransom, sell them on the slave market. I'm telling you, it's going to cost you something. So when you step out and say, I'm going to do something for God, I'll follow you anywhere. Didn't we sing that song tonight? We sang that song, yeah. How's it go, Brother Jimmy? Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. Yeah. Well, that's easy to sing, isn't it? But it's another thing to step out. No. We've got all kinds of reasons why we don't go. I don't know what yours is. We'll get to that in a minute. Let me talk to you why they don't go in New Guinea, all right? I have preacher boys, and I said, okay, we've got some villages opening up, some different ministries. We need to get going here. But the first one is they're too far away. It's too far to walk. It's too far away. Now, for American, if it's across the street, it's too far to walk. Another one is that they're our traditional enemies. I can't go over there. That man, he's a Sangoma man. He killed my grandfather. I had one fellow say, he wiped out our whole village. Amen. Another one says, well, I don't have a canoe. Down in this, we lived 14 years in the swamp. We don't have a canoe. We don't have any fuel. We got a canoe and a motor, but no fuel. Or it's going to rain. Now, y'all got rain outside, right?
Yeah.
In Baimuru, we call that Baimuru sunshine. If you don't, listen, if you wait till the rain stops, the rain's not going to stop. I had a sawmill project in Kikori. We have an average rainfall of 200 inches a year. And I got all these logs lined up, and I set up that sawmill. Man, I'm ready to go. And they said, when are you going to start? I said, when the rain's finished. It rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. As a matter of fact, it rained every day for a year. You say, what'd you do? I went to work. Man, you got to do it whether it's rain or shine. You got to do it whether it's convenient or not. You've just got to get the job done. This is the problem that we have. We have good intentions and good ideas, but we're not getting the job done. All right, we're good talkers. You try to send these preacher boys out to different villages, and you have to understand the culture that if they go into another tribe and it's you have you have no salary, and B, you have to grow your own food, and C, you don't have any traditional land. It all belongs to another tribe or another clan. So you have to be given a place to put your garden so you can go there and plant the garden, because that's what you're going to eat if you're a pastor. But the problem is they say, well, there's no school for my children there. That's a pretty good excuse if you've got four or five kids that are school age and you live in a station, a government station, where there's a school, and you're about to go out 12 hours up the river where there is no school, there is no clinic, there is no anything but you and mama and God. That's a pretty good excuse, amen? No land for the garden? I've been threatened. They tell me if I come up there, they're going to burn my house down. You say, brothers, that really happened? Man, I've seen them smoke, amen. I'm telling you, we had a church going up in a village, it was 12 hours up the Parari River. It was a New Guinea's a swamp and mountains. And then on the other side, it's just swamp and sea. We planted a church up the Parari River 12 hours, and it's where the mountains first start. I mean, we were way up there, way up there. And we had a pastor ready to go. Going to send him up there. Actually, I took my students up there, and we was going to help him build a house and get going. And New Guineans are great for allowing you to get started. And by the time you get that house built, they say, oh, by the way, brother, that's not your land, that's our land. Well, we didn't fall for that one because, as my deceased mother-in-law used to say, this ain't my first rodeo, amen. I've been there a time or two. And so we didn't fall for that. I left that pastor there, he and a couple of boys. I said, y'all just need to finish this house up. We're going back down the river, back to Baimuru, where I lived. And so we jumped in the boat and took off. It don't take half as long to go down the river as it does up the river. So we got back, and a couple days later, I got word that they'd burned that house down. We decided we weren't going to leave, and they said, okay, we will burn your house down. And, man, they burned it down. It's not easy to do some of these things. These are excuses that people have to go to Bible school. They can't go to school. There's too much work to do. I just can't do it. I had Brother Capea one time. He said, he came in and asked for prayer. And I had him over across the mountain in a place called Kundu. I mean, this was the backside of nowhere. And it was up in the highlands at that time, we walked over the mountain and we started this church. That's where old Lemmy was. He's an old witch doctor that got saved. So Capea started that, or we started the church, and Capea was the pastor. And he came over one day and he said, I said, brother, how's it going? He said, man, people getting saved. I said, you having services? Every day, every day. I mean, Monday through Sunday, every day, having services. He said, got a prayer request. I said, what is it? He said, well, we had a landslide and all my garden is gone. I said, what are you going to do, brother? I figured he's going to tell me he's going back to his home place. He said, we're going to plant a garden and preach, amen. I mean, we've gone too far to turn back. We've put too much labor, too much money, too much of our life into this thing. We can't turn back now. We just need to just buckle up and get the job done. Amen. Excuses, excuses, excuses. I'm too old. I'm too sick. I don't have this, I don't have that. One guy said, I don't have any shoes. Well, he never had any shoes before. What difference does it make? It always amazes me where New Guineans are concerned, and don't misunderstand when I talk about these people. I love them. Those are my people. But I'm telling you, they had more excuses about not doing something. My uncle's coming, I can't go. Full moon's time to go hunting the copples, the possums, I can't go. It's going to rain, I can't go. My wife is sick, I can't go. Now we're talking about just walking across the mountain and holding the service. Y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
But you start that Land Cruiser and you head towards town and you say, anybody want to go to town? Man, I'm telling you, every hand in the building go up. I said, well, what about your wife? She'd be all right. I was driving out one time. I was at a village, going past the village where we had a church, and I saw one of the guys from our home village, and I said, that was 6 o'clock in the morning. All he had was a little tiny Beelum that had money in it. And I said, where are you going, brother? He said, I'm going home. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to Hagen. He said, man, I was just on my way to Hagen. I was looking for a ride. I said, brother, don't you want to go home and tell your wife? She'll know where I'm at. That guy went to town, went to Mount Hagen. He stayed 6 weeks. Y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that they can find a way and a reason to do whatever it is they want to do? Now, I'm not talking about you now. I'm talking about folks in New Guinea. Yeah, amen. My brother from Africa, he's agreeing with me here. Amen. That's just the way it is. That just goes with the territory. And our job is to motivate them to go. Some of them need encouragement. Some of them need a kick in the backside. I'm not sure what you need. I'll ask your pastor after a while, but everybody needs something. We need to stop our excuses and get the job done. Let's go to verse 1. He said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face to every city and place whither he himself would come. Now listen, what they're doing, these guys are not going really as missionaries to stay there. They're going to prepare an evangelistic circuit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Their job was to go and prepare a place for him to stay and say, listen, the Lord is coming.
Yeah.
That was the message. The Lord is coming.
Right.
That's simple enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. He just said, listen, go. They don't want you there, don't stay. If they want you, stay. Eat what they give you. Brother Logan, you got that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Eat what they give you. Amen. He had a wonderful diet in New Guinea.
Yeah.
Amen. So that was the message. Jesus is coming. He says in verse 2, therefore he saith unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. What he's saying here is we don't have time to waste. That harvest is ready. It's ripe. He's telling these men, listen, let's get the job done. Don't waste your time. You say, I don't waste my time. I'll tell you what you do. I do this with my students in New Guinea. They just take a blank sheet of paper. And in one 24-hour period, write down everything you do. What time you do it and how long it takes you to do it. That sounds easy, doesn't it? You want to see how much time you waste? Amen. I'm trying to help you here. We don't have time. Listen, do we believe really seriously that Jesus is coming back?
Yes, sir.
I mean, not just theologically, not just in your head, but I mean in your heart. Do you really and truly believe that Jesus is coming?
Amen.
We have preached that so long and we have said amen so long. And we've got, as Brother Ralph said, we are insensitive to that. Where it doesn't really affect us. That is this is the motivation. It's the urgency. Why does this brother need to stay in Africa? Because Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Do you understand? He's coming. I mean, he is really and truly and bodily coming. There is going to be a rapture of the church and we're going out of here. You say, that's wonderful. It is for you, but it's not for them.
Right.
The other thing that's coming And if Jesus tarries, going to come to every one of us is death. It's going to shake its ugly head in your house. Not only yours, but your neighbors. And those folks in every land around this world. I heard a statistic this morning. One of them, I don't know who said it, but they talked about how many Africans die. It might have been the young lady that was here. How many Africans die every minute? Children dying and going to hell without a message. You say, well, that's a terrible thing. What are you going to do about it?
Right. Amen. Help us, Lord.
He says, go what?
Yeah.
Hold your finger up. Everybody, hold your finger up. This ain't going to hurt you. Keep it up. Who'll give $100? There you go. Keep your finger up, man. I'm just kidding. I don't want your $100. But hold your finger up. Go ye. Come on now, do this. Go ye. Whose responsibility is it then? It's ours. Not just a few missionaries. It is ours to go and get the job done. I'm telling you, we got to quit wasting our time. And I don't know what your excuse is tonight, whether you're sick, whether you're lame, whether you're lazy, whether you're old, whatever it is. And I'm about three out of four, but I'll let you pick which one it is. Amen. But we got to get over this thing of we always have a quick answer and a quick excuse of why, yes, it's needful, and yes, they ought to go, and yes, they ought to give, and get it down to where you are. What are you doing for those people? Did God just call the missionaries? Hello? Are we all not called to be a witness? Does not the church grow through the evangelism of the local church?
Right.
I'm telling you, listen, this is not Brother Ted's program. This is God's program.
Amen.
We grow the church, and the reason we grow the church, the reason we strengthen believers, the reason we have discipleship programs is not just to build our kingdom, it's to build His kingdom.
Amen.
We're supposed to be training them and sending them out. And over this whole land where all the preachers are, the majority of preachers are in America, they're doing absolutely nothing. Say, why doesn't it work? Why doesn't Jesus come back? Why haven't we reached the world? Because the church, the believers, are doing mostly nothing. Because they're too sick, they're too old, they're too busy, they've got kids, they've got retirement, they've got this, they've got that, they've got the other. Jesus said, quit wasting time, get busy. The harvest is there. There's no question of the harvest. Listen, this brother talked about Brussels. Is that where you're going, Brussels? Belgium. All right, amen. And I was listening to him, and as he started giving those statistics about people and people that needed the gospel and all these different things, you could have put half of his presentation on America. Amen. Because they're religious and lost. And they're not getting the gospel witness because the church is not getting the job done. Amen. He says in verse 3, he said, go your way. Behold, I sent you forth as lambs among the wolves. Get go. Listen, this is a simple message. First of all, point one, don't waste time. And the second one, get going. Let's quit talking about it. Quit dreaming about it. Quit bragging about it. Quit lying about it and just get up and go.
Amen.
Isn't that simple? Just get up and go.
Yes,
you say, I don't know what to do. Get you a handful of gospel tracts and go have at it, man. Amen. Just wherever you want to.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So, well, I'm afraid. Well, go to prison with this brother where everybody's behind bars. They won't touch you. You've got a captive audience. Amen. Well, hey, listen. If nothing else, go to the nursing home. My wife and I have spent a week, a month in the nursing home with her mother until she passed away. And I'm telling you, if you spend any time in the nursing home, it will break your heart. See those people wander around and half their mind is gone. But I'm telling you, you can still reach some. They might not be there. I had a lady in Georgia years ago in our home church, and And she asked my wife, and I were home on furlough, said, would you go and visit my father? And I said, sure. And he said, well, he's lost. I said, okay, where is he? Where does he live? He said, well, he's in a nursing home. And we went up there. He had dementia or Alzheimer's, whatever. I don't know how far advanced it was. And she said, sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. And I walked in and sat down with him, and my wife was with me, and I started talking to him a little bit, and he just rambled and rambled and rambled. And I started talking to him about his soul, man. You ever see that glassy-eyed stare that they have? I started talking about Jesus, and those eyes cleared up. And I started talking to him about the need to get saved, brother. I said, listen, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he said, yes, sir, I will. Wow. Amen. Amen. You say, he didn't pray the prayer. I don't care what he did, man. He got saved. Made that decision, received Christ as a Savior. You know what happened then? That glass stare come right back on him.
Wow.
I said, amen. You say, brother, you left him in a bad shape. No, I left him a child of God.
Amen.
So I don't believe that. You don't believe that because you don't do that. Amen. Listen, it is easy to tear down these guys and tear down these ministries. But hey, let's do something besides tear somebody down. Let's see what you're doing. I'm not interested in what somebody else is going to do for God. What are you going to do for God? Get this thing down where it is. Quit wasting time and go get the job done. Just get going. He said, I'm going to send you forth as sheep. Send you forth as lamb among the wolves. Listen, in Matthew chapter 7, he said, you better watch them lambs too. Amen. Because they look like lambs, but they're not lambs. They're wolves. All right. Those are the guys, the half-hearted commitment. Those are the hangers-on. Those are the guys who have all the questions and they complain about the preacher all the time. Amen. They talk about, well, we just need to worry about America. We don't need to worry about them foreigners. Man, you already got all the churches and all the preachers. What else you want? Amen. I tell you what you want. You want to hide them dollars in your pocket. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. And then there's the wolves. Listen, they're everywhere. And these fellas go to these countries. There's some problems they face. The problem that we face is that the Baptist church is still fighting about 50 bucks a month, and the Catholics and the Charismatics are sending people around the world. Amen, 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 amen. They're doing it. The Catholic church didn't have one airplane. They have a whole fleet of airplanes in Papua New Guinea. The Mormons just sent $5 million worth of bricks from America to build Mormon churches in a swamp. Can you believe that? American bricks to build a church in a swamp. You say, why do they do that? Because they got more money than they know what to do with. The Baptist. Brother Goins, how much support you got? And how long you been at it? Brother Shell, how much support you got? How long you been at it? 5 years. Why is that? Listen, y'all sending Brother Shell out, you're sending Brother Daniel out? We ought to get these guys there in 6 months.
Amen.
It's not that we don't have the money. It's that we don't have the desire. We don't have that a dedication. We don't have that commitment. We talk about it. We got beautiful flags. But I'm telling you, we need to put our money where our mouth is. We need to quit talking and start doing. I was talking about my high school years. You know, if you get in a fight with somebody, the guy that's not going to do it, you don't have to be, if he's just, all he'll do is start talking. If he just starts talking, you don't worry about it. He ain't going to do nothing. He might be 10 times bigger than you. He is not going to do nothing. He is all talk. When you get in a fight, man, get the first punch in. That way they'll know it's not all talk and it's not that you're not going to run away. Y'all with me tonight?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So let's get the job done.
Amen.
What are we waiting on? He said, listen, just go and do it. Go, go, go. Get going. You're never going to get anywhere till you put that first step forward.
Right.
Never going to get anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere in your education. You're not going to get anywhere in your marriage. You're not going to get anywhere in your work if you don't show a little gumption and take that step. Listen, the world owes you nothing. Now, better say that again. The world owes you nothing. If you're going to get something in your life or do something for God, man, it's going to take some sweat. It's going to take some energy. And listen, you say, I don't know what to do. Take the first step. Just say, God, I'll go. What do you want? I'll do it. I'll go anywhere. I can't sing. I better hush. I'll run y'all out of here. But Jesus said, listen, there's wolves out there. And y'all the sheep. Now you can preach a whole message on how stupid sheep are. But if you're going to serve God, you better sit down and think about it a while. You better count the cost. You better open your eyes and take a realistic look of where you're going and what you're about to do. I'm not trying to scare you off. I'm trying to tell you, if you're going to take that step, do it with your eyes open. Understanding that God will make the way. Understanding that God will finance His will. Understanding that there is a harvest. Understanding that God has put you in this place, brother, in Africa, and that is your life. That is what is right for you right now. The will of Almighty God right there. That'll keep you on the mission field. Not only that, it'll get you to the mission field. If you know and settle in your heart, yes, this is what God is going to do. We are like the kids in Baimuru, man. They come down to the water and they just put their toe in. And it's cold and they hold their little faces. They're stark naked, but they hold their faces to warm themselves up. And their mama comes and said, hey, did you wash? Yeah, I did, mama, I washed. But most of us do that in the church. So you serving God? Yeah, I'm serving God. But listen, we just got our toe in. I wonder what happened if you'd ever get under the spout. I'm talking the blessed Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of your life. And you don't just give your toes, man. You give the whole thing to God. You say, listen, God, I am yours. Do with me as you will. So now, let me tell you what that'll do. That'll give you some peace in your heart. That'll get you farther than you have ever been in your entire life. That'll give you some happiness. Amen. That'll give you some purpose for your life, and you'll quit dragging around here and say, yeah, I'm saved, man. Oh, glory to God. That'll put a smile on your face. That changes the whole outlook on life. Then these missionaries are not a burden. They're not a once-a-year thing. Man, this program of reaching the world is all the time, every day, and it's God's purpose. And if you ever change your attitude and change your life and let God take control, you will be amazed what God can do with you. Now, flimsy excuses. Well, the guy wanted to bury his father. His father wasn't even dead. He wasn't dead. It's a big honor for a Jew to bury your father. It really is. But if his father was anywhere close to death, he wouldn't have been there with Jesus. He'd have been at home because that would have been his place. It's just as honorable if you're somewhere else to have your little brother do it. Yeah, amen. So what he was wanting to do was wait around for his inheritance. That's what he was wanting. I just stick around here till the money starts to flow. I wonder who can feed you more, the world or God? I'm telling you, I stand before you. We walked out of General Motors in 1982, and I have never missed a meal. I think I had $200 in the bank. I have never missed a meal. I have never been hungry, other than being off in the bush somewhere. It's my own fault because it didn't take enough to eat. Every need, not desire, every need, everything I needed, anytime in my ministry, God supplied. The big thing with me was, they said, well, what if you get up? We start this what if stuff. You know, it's, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? And mama, I'm not complaining on you, but I'm telling you sometimes that happens. What if we get over there and this happens, or Junior gets sick, or what if you get sick? Well, you're going to get sick. I had malaria. We counted up the other day. We had it 13 times in 3 years. Hepatitis. Heart attack. Not one heart attack. I had two in country and one in America. Say, what'd you do? God supplied. Every single time, every single need I had, God supplied. That's not because I'm something spiritual. That's because we serve a great God. God, does he not say he'll supply your needs? He does, but we're afraid to step out. We're afraid to take that first step. We're kind of like these guys who say, yes, that's a good project. Yes, somebody needs to be in Russia. Yes, somebody needs to be in Greenland. That's all good. In New Guinea, they say, Tasso. But not me. That message is for somebody else. I'm doing all I can do. I'm sick. I'm tied down. I'm committed to something else. And we get all these flimsy excuses when what we need to just get up out of our seat and take that first step and say, God, I'm yours. I work in the prisons. I work in the Sunday school room. I work in the bus ministry. I'll go to New Guinea. I'll go to Africa. I'll even go to Greenland. Amen. I wonder how much of your life will you give? I'm not talking about your money now. How much of your life will you give? Verse 9, he said, go and heal the sick. So I don't believe in that. Well, not for this age, but in that age, that was what he wanted them to do. Just go and just do the job. God never asks you to succeed. He only asks you to be faithful. Success. Listen, we can't save anybody. All we do, we're just carrying the message. That's all we do. But God is looking for messengers. He's looking for somebody who's willing to step out and put themselves backside and put God first and say, God, here am I. Send me. He may not send you anywhere, but you need that commitment whether he sends you anywhere or not. It's a good church. Good church. And you folks give a lot of money. And these missionaries appreciate it. Y'all do a lot for me. You pray, you give. But I'm telling you, we need some warm bodies. We need some people that will simply give their life, make their commitment to Jesus Christ and say, God, if you'll show me, I will go. Lock, stock, and barrel, God, I'm yours. I put my family, my finances, and my future on this altar. God, use me if you will. Y'all stand with me, please. Do whatever God burdens you to do tonight, however God's dealt with your heart. But I'm telling you, we need to quit talking about it. And we need to just get the job done. We need to get serious about this thing. There are serious souls going to a serious hell. And all they're looking for is a messenger. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for these people.